Right, hello to everybody. We're the equivalent of about 850 years into the millennium. So I'm going to set this sermonette 850 years in the millennium. As we look around, we see a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful paradise that the whole world is covered in. But just over 850 years ago, this world was a wasteland. Mankind had ruled this world under Satan's ways for 6,000 years. Mankind's foolishness and hatred of God's ways almost led to total annihilation of this whole planet. Every single aspect of life was designed to pollute, hurt, or kill. Mankind fell by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. The GM foods that were going to save the world because of the food shortages ended up being mutations, with weeds resistant to even the strongest chemicals. Natural and man-made diseases were everywhere. There were even rumours at the end time that mankind had deliberately released some diseases into the world so that the vaccine companies could profit. Man's dwelling places and his cities were laid waste, and his high places were made desolate, along with his altars. Man's idols were broken down and made to cease. His incense altars cut down and his works were abolished. At the end of the tribulation and the day of the Lord, the world was almost dead, almost lifeless, and totally unrecognizable. The landscape, as you looked around, was blackened and burnt. The trees of the forests were so few that a child could count them on one hand. All the green grass was burnt up. The sea was as blood, and a third of the sea life was dead. The springs of water were as wormwood, polluted so badly that they no longer gave life to those who drank. They polluted the ground wherever they flowed. No longer life-bringing waters, they were rivers of death. Massive earthquakes had rocked the planet, and every island fled away, and the mountains were no longer found. The sun was as black as sackcloth, and the moon was of blood. The sky was so polluted that the light and the heat from the sun could no longer reach the earth. The earth staggered like a drunkard. It trembled like a tent in a storm. 6,000 years of the knowledge of good and evil, doing what was right in man's own eyes, had led to this point. Mankind was smashed. This world was shattered. Life and the future existence of mankind was on a knife edge. Mankind had no hope physically. The cities which were inhabited were laid waste, the land was desolate, and mankind learnt that God is the Lord. But God had said to us through his prophets in the old time, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end of it. Christ then returned, just before all life would have been wiped off this face of this planet. Satan was bound, and the healing process began. It is hard to believe that the world was so devastated 850 years ago when you look around at the paradise that we see now. It wasn't a quick fix when Christ took control of this world's governments, but the healing process did start as soon as Christ returned. When Christ's feet stood on the Mount of Olives, the mount split in two, from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain moved towards the north and half to the south. And from it there flowed a healing water. And we'll turn there, please, to Ezekiel 47. And we'll read about these healing waters. So Ezekiel 47. And starting in verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around to the outside, to the outer gateway, and the faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And dropping down to verse 6, he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from Gedi to Englaim, and they will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be of the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. And down to verse 12. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because these waters flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. The healing waters flow from the temple, starting the physical renewing of this world. But more importantly, God's Spirit, also described as water, flowed out from his temple. And when mankind drank of this Spirit, he was able to understand God's way of living, not only in harmony with God, his creator, with mankind, his neighbor, but also with the environment. For it was said, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Isaiah explained just what would take place when this event occurred, and it has happened. God's Spirit has now been poured upon us from high, and the wilderness has become a fruitful field, and the fruitful fields are counted as a forest. Mankind now has the Spirit working with him, and in him, helping him to read and understand God's word, his instruction manual to man. With this Spirit guiding us, we were able to work within the laws God had created. We are now living and farming in such a way that we do not hurt or destroy in all thy holy mountain, because the whole earth is full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters covered the sea. Because we implement these laws in our lives and in the environment, the lands are so bountiful, it is almost incredible. The ploughman regularly overtakes the reaper, the treader of the grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains do drip with sweet wine, and the hills flow with it. The end of the day, and in the evenings when families gather together for food and for fellowship, we still hear the old whiteheads, as we call them, teaching the youngsters, well, those who are 800 years and younger, about the effects of Satan's ways, about Satan's way of life and the desolation. And they still marvel at the transformation which has taken place. Turn, please, to Ezekiel 36, because we find here a little bit more. Thus says the Lord God, Ezekiel 36, verse 33, thus says the Lord God, on that day I will cleanse you from all your iniquities. I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land was desolate, has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fenced and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all about shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. At the beginning of the millennium, the global transformation was not instant. God started working with Israel, his chosen people, and the land around Jerusalem, where his headquarters was set up, and the whole land about was transformed. And the other nations, who were still in chaos and drought, saw what our God had done for his people. And they and their families came up to Jerusalem over time to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. And their lands are also now transformed, and the pleasant rains also fall on them. Each Gentile nation has now submitted to him. He opened the rivers in desolate heights in their lands also, and fountains in the midst of their valleys. He made their wildernesses a pool of water, just like he did in our own lands. And the dry lands and springs of water are now abundant around the earth. In Isaiah 35, we have another glimpse at just how beautiful the millennium is. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, in verse 1. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. And then dropping down to halfway through verse 6, "For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes." The beasts of the field now honour God, the jackals and the ostriches, because he has given waters in the wilderness, the rivers in the desert, giving his drink to his people. God made a covenant of peace with us and caused the wild beasts to cease from the land. And we now dwell in safety in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Joy and gladness is found in this land. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody is heard throughout. God's spirit and the knowledge of God is as the waters cover the sea. All of mankind know God, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Being able to understand God's laws and the ability to keep them has meant that the utter desolation that we saw 850 years ago has been transformed. God has made a new covenant with us, and this time we are able to keep it because we have his spirit dwelling in us and with us. Ezekiel 34, verse 25. I'm going to read this in a slightly different tense because I'm reading it from the future. Verse 25. "I have made a covenant of peace with them and caused wild beasts to cease from the land, and they dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I have made them the place and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I cause showers to come down in their season. They are blessing, showers of blessing. The trees of the field do yield their fruit, and the earth does yield her increase. They are safe in the land, and they do know that I am the Lord. I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they are no longer a prey to the nations. No longer do beasts of the land devour them, but they do dwell safely, and no one makes them afraid. I have raised up for them a garden of renown, and they are no longer consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they do know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord." The desolation and the wilderness is no more. The rains we have in due season. The land yields its produce, and the trees of the field yield their fruit. Our threshing lasts until the time of the harvest, and the harvest lasts until the time of the sowing. We eat the old harvest, and we have to clear out the old because of the new harvest. We eat our bread and we are full, and we dwell in land in safety. There is peace in the land, and when we lie down, no one makes us afraid. The land has no wild beasts. It's funny, but Israel was offered this thousands of years ago after they left Egypt. And they could not understand nor obey God's laws because the right heart was not found in them. They did not fear God. They did not have his Holy Spirit, and without it they could not walk in God's statutes, nor keep his commands, nor could they keep his Sabbaths or honour his sanctuary. They did what was right in their own eyes, having taken to themselves the knowledge of good and evil. But Christ returned 850 years ago, and is ruling according to his laws with love and mercy. And we have now been shown the way of life, and given the ability to fear God, and live according to his laws. And behold, it is very good.